Today's shiur in Masechta Erevin Daf Kuf Gimel. We're going to begin on Daf Kuf Beis Amud Beis on the Banner Mishnah. The Mishnah continues to discuss various activities that are also to be done on Shabbos, that are prohibited to be done on Shabbos, however, may be done under certain circumstances in the Beis Hamikdash. Koisrin Nima B'Migdash. Somebody could tie the string of a musical instrument that broke in the Beis Hamikdash. Avloi B'Medina, but not outside of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Mefarshim explain, Rashi explains, the issue here is obviously an issue of kshira, of tying, which is one of the Lamates Malachas. But as when a carbon was brought, and as we've discussed, kabbonis were brought also on Shabbos and Yontif, musical accompaniment had to take place. So if the string of the instrument tore, it may be repaired, it may be tied on Shabbos. The Rishonim point out that our Mishnah obviously holds Ika Shira Bekeli. There's a machlokes that although everybody agrees that when a carbon was brought, it had to be accompanied with song, that song have to be with an instrument, that song have to just be by singing. If our Mishnah says that we're allowed to tie to the one of the Lamates Malachas in order to fix the instrument that broke on Shabbos, obviously our Mishnah holds that Ika Shira Bekeli. Tosfos Yontif makes an interesting observation. He says that the Rambam holds the Ika Shira Bepeh. The main song takes place with the mouth. Yet the Rambam also paskens like our Mishnah that if a string tore, it may be fixed. So they ask the Tosfos Yontif, if Rambam holds the Ika Shira Bepeh, so how can we allow someone to do a Malacha D'Oraisa for something which is not really required? That's why the Tosfos Yontif learns that the Rambam will hold that the type of fixing that's discussed in our Mishnah is only fixing a keli with the Rabbanan Malacha, but not with a Malacha D'Oraisa. Aval V'Betchila, however, if somebody's putting in the string for the first time, Kan v'kan asur, it's asur to be done both in the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash. And there's Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to learn in B'tchila. Rashi learns T'chila means that there was no string in this instrument from before Shabbos. Tosfos learns that there was a string in the instrument before Shabbos, but the string tore before Shabbos, and therefore it should have been fixed before Shabbos. And if it wasn't, there is no heter to fix it on Shabbos, even in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the basis of this entire discussion, that we're allowed to fix the instrument, is based on the fact that not only is a melacha mutter to be done when it has to be done for the Beis HaMikdash, bringing a carbon, shechting it, spritzing the blood, but even machshirei mitzvah, things that I need only in preparation for a mitzvah, such as our case of fixing the instrument, which is not really the mitzvah, it's just a preparation for the mitzvah, they too may be done on Shabbos. Berminim. But let's see how our Mishnah will work with what it says in the following braisa. Nimas kinesh nefsakav, the string of a harp broke on Shabbos. You're not allowed to make a knot, you're only allowed to make a bow. Our Mishnah says you're allowed to make a knot. Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Ha Rabbanon, ha Rebelezer. The Brice reflects the position of the Rabbanon that say the Machshirei Mitzvah ain't in Doichnus of Shabbos. Things that are only done in preparation of a mitzvah don't supersede Shabbos. And since this is something that's only a Machshirei Mitzvah, you can't make a knot. You can only make a bow. Rebbe Lezer And Rabbi Lezer, on the other hand, holds that Mechshire mitzvah doichnas a Shabbos, and therefore you could even make a knot. According to Rabbi Lezer, the things that are done in preparation for a mitzvah also supersede the Shabbos. Kosher, you can make a knot. According to Rabbanan that say that preparations for mitzvah can't supersede the Shabbos, only you can only make a bow. Ask the Gemara, E Rabbi Lezer, if you're going to say that our Mishnah reflects the position of Rabbi Lezer, afilu chatchila nami, then you should be allowed to even insert a string for the first time on Shabbos. Because it's a machshirei mitzvah. Anything that's done for preparation of mitzvah is mutter. Yet our Mishnah said, v'metchila kam v'kan asur. Now, Rabbi Kivega asks a very fundamental question. He says, why don't we say that kshira is mutter, that you're allowed to make a knot, and the knot that you'll make, when you'll make it, you'll have in mind that it should be a temporary knot. Matzoi Shabbos, you'll take it out. And therefore will not be considered a malacha d'oraisa. And even according to Rabbanim, therefore, you should be allowed to make a knot. Says the Bir Halacha, that if someone makes a knot, which is a real knot, the way all knots are made, even though this person, he had in mind that this knot should be temporary, he's going to undo it, Matzoi Shabbos, that will not give it a status of a kesher she'eino shekayama. That will not give it a status of a knot that's not permanent, that is not osur midoraisa, only midrabbanan. If it's the way knots are made, it's considered a knot. Elo kasha, so the Gemara attempts a different teretz, how to reconcile the Brice and the Mishnah. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah reflects the position of Rabbi Yehuda, who makes no difference, as we learned earlier, between knots and bows. Harabonon, the Braisa is going according to Rabbanon, who does make a difference between knots and bows. And since there's a difference between knots and bows, we'd rather use a bow, which is only a Drabonon. Ask the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda, leave the man. According to who is Rabbi Yehuda saying his Shita? We've explained that our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now let's understand who is Rabbi Yehuda basing that on. If he's going according to Rabbi Lezer, that says that anything that's Letzarev Shabbos can be done, so we're back to our old question. Then why only if a broke is a mutter, it should be mutter even if you want to insert it in the first place? Yet our Mishnah says Lechatchil is Osir. Eloi Kasha, how do we have to explain the Mishnah? Ha Rav Shimon, ha Rabbonin. It's a machlokes of Rav Shimon Rabbanan. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Ben Levi shalifzaka nima bekina. If a Levi's harp string broke, kashroi. So the Tanya Kama holds, you could tie it with a regular knot. Rav Shimon Aimer, oinvoi. You could only make a bow. Shimon Eloz Aimer, afi eina mishmas as a kol. Tying the string either with a knot or a bow will not give you the sound that you need. El Mishal Shem Lamata V'Karech L'Mala. He should unwind some of the surplus length of the broken string from the bottom peg, extend it to the top of the instrument, and wind it around the top peg. Or Mishal Shem Lamala V'Karech L'Mata. Or wind from the top peg and wind around the bottom peg. Now this is a malacha. It's a malacha of Makba Patish. But according to Rav Shim ben Elazar, it's the only option you have. Because anything else will not give you the sound that you need. From here, the Chai Adam extrapolates that it's regarding winding a watch. He says that you're allowed to wind the watch as long as it's going, but if the watch is no longer going, winding it up would be an issue of Makba Patish, which we just learned is awesome. So we're learning, now let's understand the Gemara. We had a question that there was a contradiction between our Mishnah and a Braisa. The Mishnah said that you could tie, the Braisa says that you could make a bow. says the Gemara now, the Mishnah and the Braisa are only referring in a situation where the string broke on Shabbos. But the Mishnah follows the Rabbanan, who says that you can make a knot, and the Braisa follows the Shita of the Rav Shimon, that says that you can only make a bow, not a knot. Vibay Seima, another way of explaining the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Hava hava Rabbanan. Both the Mishnah and the Braisa will be going according to Rabbanan. And we're also going to hold that we're going to hold that only what could not have been done before Shabbos has the right to supersede Shabbos. V'lo kasha, kam be'emtza. In the Mishnah, we're talking about a string that snapped in the middle, and therefore it has to be tied properly, otherwise it won't make any sound. Kamenatzad, the Braisa is talking about a string which snapped at the end, and there bow is sufficient, and you'll get a sound. V'bay seima, hava hava emtza. Both this Mishnah and the Braisa refer when it snapped in the middle. The Mishnah follows the view of the Rabbanan, and the Braisa follows the view of Rav Shimon. And what is the basis of their machlokes? Ma'asav gazrinim. Rav Shimon holds that even though the only thing that will make this instrument work is a knot, we're still not allowed to make a knot, because if we're going to make a knot when it broke in the middle, people may come to make a knot even when it broke at one of the ends. And when it broke at one of the ends, there is no heter to make a knot, because there a bow is enough. So because of Xayr, Rav Shimon says, don't even make a knot in the middle. And Rabbanan hold, we don't make such a Xayr. And if it broke in the middle, and we have no other option, we can make a knot. And like the Mefarshim explained, the Gaon Yaakov explains, even though according to Rav Shimon, because of this Xayr, I'm not going to have a musical instrument on Shabbos, as we find many times in Shas, Chachamim have the right to be mevatel a mitzvah. Chachamim have a right to say, don't do a mitzvah if they feel so is required. Like, you're not allowed to blow shofar on Shabbos, and you're not allowed to take a lulav on Shabbos. Says the Mishnah. Mishnah continues discussing things that may be done in the Beis Hamikdash, even though they may not be normally done in Shabbos. Choytchen, yabelos from English. An animal that developed a wart, somebody could tear off that wart with his hands in the Beis Hamikdash. Avalav in Medina, but that may not be done outside the Beis Hamikdash. Vimbikeli, if somebody wants to use an instrument, kan v'kan osur, it's also to do it both in the Beis Hamikdash and outside the Beis Hamikdash. And that is a shaila. Firstly, what kind of wart are we talking about? Most Rishonim explain that the wart being discussed here is the wart is on an animal, but not the wart on a kohen. That even though the halacha is that a kohen that develops a wart is a balmum and may not do the avoida, our Mishnah is referring to a wart on an animal, not on a kohen. That is important discussion. What exactly is the melacha one is over when he cuts off a wart? So Rashi says that cutting a wart on Shabbos with a knife is the melacha of goizus. If it's done with a hand, it's only osim drabonon because it's klachiyad. On Rashi's pshat, the Rishash asks that, why is that considered a melacha? Because we don't need the wart. We don't want the wart. It's not like when some... Where do we have goizis in the Mishkan? That they sheared the animals to receive the wool. Here, we're not cutting off the wart because we want the wart. And therefore, the halacha should be that this is not goizis midaraisa. Specifically, the Rishonim ask that since we know that we had a machlokes of Yehuda and Rav Shimon, What's the halacha by malacha shein tzrich legufa? The Rav Shimon holds malacha shein tzrich legufa is potter. So over here, it's a malacha shein tzrich legufa. Because as we've always defined malacha shein tzrich legufa, I would prefer not to have to do the whole thing entirely. So why are you chayiv? So that's why some mefarshim explain that our Mishnah is only going according to Rabbi Yehuda that says malacha shein tzrich legufa is chayiv. According to Rav Shimon that holds malacha shein tzrich legufa is potter, you would allow to even use an instrument to cut off the wort. Others say that even though Rav Shimon holds that a malacha shein tzrich legufa is potter, that's only when it's done by hand. But a malacha shein tzrich legufa that's done with an instrument, Rav Shimon will agree is not considered a malacha shein tzrich legufa that one is potter for. The Ran and the Rivash, however, say a different explanation why everybody will agree that the malacha of Geizes midaraisa is applicable here. Because they explain that in the Mishkan, one of the animals that were used was a tachash. It was a multicolored animal whose hides were used as a covering of the Mishkan. Now, to prepare it for use as a covering, they had to cut off the wool, the hair that grew on the tachash. So we see that the act of goizes was not only used for obtaining wool, but was also used in preparation of the hides. So too, we're going to say here that cutting warts is a malachim and a Torah, even if you don't need the severed item. The Rishash, however, because of its kashas, explains that the malacha that's being referred to in our Mishnah is the malacha of chayvel, inflicting a wound. The Taz learns that the malacha of our Mishnah is kaitzer, because a person is compared to karka, to something that grows from the ground. And just like if you pull something out from the ground, there's malachas kaitzer, so too, if you sever something from the human body, it's considered the malacha of kaitzer. Now, there's a very interesting shayla for Tshuva Shayla Meshif. The Shayla Meshif says that perhaps cutting off the wart of this animal will be more serious than cutting a wart from a human being. Because when you cut a wart off from a human being, you really aren't being misakin. You're really not fixing the person. You're not making him any more fit or less fit than he was previously. However, when you cut off the wart from the animal that was till now disqualified as a carbon, and now by cutting off the wart, you make it qualified and eligible to be used as an animal. So your action is a much more significant action and may be considered a malacha midaraisa, where if you doing it on a person, it will not be a malacha deraisa. We're meaning. But now we have to try to reconcile the din that we just learned in our Mishnah with a braisa. What we learned in the following Mishnah, in Masechta Pesachim. We know that the carbon Pesach is, if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, you're allowed to bring the carbon Pesach on Shabbos. But the Mishnah says, her kivoy, carrying the animal, or carrying it from outside the tchum, according of the wort, do not supersede Shabbos. They do supersede. So our Mishnah says that you are allowed to cut off a wort, and the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim says that you're not allowed to cut off a wort. Answers the Gemara, two truths. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yosef Bechanina. Both our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim refer to moist warts. V'loy kasha, yet there's no machlokes. Can be at. Our Mishnah is talking that you're going to remove the wart by hand. Since you're going to move it by hand, so it's not a malacha d'oraisa, and that's why it's mutter. Can, the Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim is referring to a situation that you're going to remove it with an instrument, which is a malacha deraisa we just explained, and that's why it's awesome. The charamer, another way of reconciling the two machloikasin, the two mishnayis, is hava habiyad. Both mishnayis are referring where you're removing it by hand. Like asher hava lacha, the mishnah set of pesachim refers to moist wort, and that's why it's aser. Habi Yavesha, the Mishnah Masechta Erevin is referring to dry wood, and since it's dry, it's not considered anymore really connected to the body, and that's why it's mutter. Ask Tosfos, if the Mishnayos are talking that it's Yavesha, that it's dry, if our Mishnah is talking that it's dry, then why do you have to use your hand? You should be allowed to even use an instrument. So Tosfos says, and Tosfos already spoke about this previously, that shvus gedoyla, a serious shvus, even in the Beis Hamikdash, lo hitiru, they did not allow. Using an instrument, even though the wort is dry, is a shvus gedoyla, and that's why it's usur even in the Beis Hamikdash. Now the Gemara will attempt to understand why each of these terutz, where each of these manda amrim said his terutz and did not say the other terutz. Manda amrim habi yad v'habi keli, according to the first answer that we just gave, that our Mishnah is talking that you're moving it by hand, and the Mishnah Pesachim is talking that you're moving it with an instrument. My time loy amahab alach v'habi yvesha. One, he say that our Mishnah is referring to dry wort, and the Mishnah Pesachim is talking about a moist wort. Amalach, so he says, Yavesha, if our Mishnah is speaking about a dry wort, I feel a kli namishari, then should be mutter even with a instrument. My tama, a frucha, it's disintegrated. And since it's disintegrated, says Tosfos, I can't call it a shvus gadol, even if I'm using a keli, because something which is completely dried out and disintegrated cannot be considered shvus gadol, and our Mishnah should have allowed a keli. If our Mishnah didn't allow a keli, our Mishnah cannot be speaking about a dry wort. Now the Gemara goes to the other teretz. The one that answered that our Mishnah is speaking about a dry wort, and that Mishnah is speaking about a moist wort. My time aloy amar habi yad v'habi keli. Why did he say that our Mishnah is talking about removing it by hand, and the Mishnah Masechet Erevin is referring to moving it by an instrument? Amalach, b'keli, how could you say that the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim is talking about removing it with an instrument? Hatnan, we already learned in our Mishnah, b'keli v'kan v'kan osur, that it's always awesome to use an instrument. So we don't need the Mishnah Pesachim to teach us that then already, as we learned it in our Mishnah. Vidach, and the other mandama that says that the Mishnah Pesachim is teaching us that you're not allowed to use a keli to remove a wort. Why is the Mishnah have to teach it to us? Didn't we already learn it in our Mishnah? Hadakani Hasam, Shnukabayil Flugi Rebelezer Rabbanan. The reason the Mishnah repeated this Dinim Sechta Psachim, it wanted to teach us Rebelezer Shita, that Rebelezer allows one to remove a wort even with an instrument. Vidach, and the other Mandama, who says that the Mishnah, the Masechta Pesachim, refers to removing a wort by hand, not with an instrument. Why is he saying that the Mishnah there is only referring to a hand, and he said it's talking about a moist wort? The first cases of the Mishnah, which we quoted at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, was bringing the animal, carrying it through Rishus Rabbim, or bring it from Chutz L'Tchum. Those were all situations of Drabonim, because Midaraisa you're not chai for carrying an animal, because chai noisei es atzmoi, an animal could carry itself, and Midaraisa Tchum, there is no Issa Tchum in Midaraisa, it's only Midrabonim. So you can't say, says the Gemara, that the Mishnah over there is talking about cutting it with a keli, with an instrument, because that's a Deraisa. And the Mishnah over there is referring to Malachas the Rabbanim. Vidach. Now the other Mandamer that says that the Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim is referring to cutting it with a instrument. Then the Mishnah is mismatched. First it speaks about Malachas the Rabbanim, and then it speaks about Malachas the Raisa. He's going to say that everything in that Mishnah is a Malachas the Raisa, because Akiva, carrying it, he will not hold like Rav Nosson, Damachai Noises Atzmoy, that a living thing could carry itself, and therefore it is a deraisa when you carry it. And Havas Mechusa Tchum, carrying it outside the Tchum, he holds like Rabbi Kiva, that we learned early in this Masechta, is Tchum deraisa. Now, before I should make a few points here. One thing is, that why do we have to say that we don't agree with Rav Nosson, that holds Chai Noises Atzmoy? We could say that it even goes according to Rav Nosson, but doesn't Rav Nosson agree that an animal that is so ill that it can't walk itself, we don't say Chai Noises Atzmoy? So why don't we say that it's talking about a sick animal? So Farshim say, because if it's a sick animal, then it's disqualified as a carbon. So it can't be speaking about a sick animal. If we're saying it's a deraisa, it must be because we don't agree with Rav Nosson, the Chai Noises Atzmoy. Now, Rav Farshim asks another question. We're explaining that the Mishnah that holds there, that's talking about the Raisa, about Tchumim, is going according to Rabbi Kiva that holds Tchumim of the Raisa. Now, we've learned earlier in the Masechta, we quoted a Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi says, carrying, that even if you hold Tchumim of the Rabbanon, Tchumim of Yud Beis Mil, walking Yud Beis Mil is the Raisa. So they ask, why don't we explain that it's going, even according to Rabbanan, that holds the Tchumim of Yud Beis Mil are the Raisa. From here we have a proof, we've spoken about this previously, that Tchumim of even Yud Beis Mil, according to the Bavli, are not the Raisa. Now, the Shail Sechuv, Shail Meshiv asks, why doesn't the Gemara give a different Teretz? The Gemara could have given a Teretz that there's a difference when the wort formed. It's difference if it formed on Shabbos, the there perhaps will be allowed to remove it, and that's what our Mishnah is discussing. On the other hand, the Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim is referring to a case where the wort formed before Shabbos, and there you should have cut it off, and therefore you don't have a right to cut it on Shabbos. So the Shaul Shuv Shoyal Meshiv answers that if the wort formed on Shabbos, that means this animal was at one point designated as a carbon, and then got disqualified, and now you want to requalify it. The halacha says, the Shalom Eshev says, that something that was nitcha, that was roi, that was qualified for nitcha, and then gets disqualified, even if it becomes qualified again, is not allowed to be put on the Mizbeach, and that's why the Gemara cannot give that teretz. The Gemara before had mentioned the first teretz, that the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim was referring to removing a moist wart with an instrument, and that's why the Mishnah over there said it's awesome. Master Rabbi Yosef asks Rabbi Yosef, how could you say that the Mishnah in Masechta Pesachim is referring to Malacha Daraisa? I'm Rabbi Lezer. Rabbi Lezer, in explaining his position in that Mishnah, says the following. Kavachayma, I'm going to make the following kavachayma. Omer shchita shem malacha. If shchita, which is a malacha, doiches a Shabbos, elu shem shem shvus. These things that the Mishnah mentions there, that are only a derabbanon, and a din shiyitches a Shabbos, certainly could supersede the Shabbos. So obviously, Rabbi Lezer is saying to us explicitly that the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim is not talking about a malacha deraisa. Elam Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef doesn't like, as Rashi explains, either of the two terutzim that we learned. To explain that the Mishnah over there is talking about a malacha deraisa, so we just showed it's not. To tell us, on the other hand, that it's talking about removing by hand, again he doesn't like, because we don't need to have the same din twice. Elomer Rabbi Yosef, that's why he says a different answer. Hava habiyad, both Mishnais are talking about removing it by hand. But there's going to be the following difference. Shvus b'migdash b'migdash shetiru. When will we make on a shvus? Only in the base of migdash. Shvus the migdash, or shvus for a carbon. B'medina, outside the base of migdash, l'yotiru they did not allow. And therefore our Mishnah is talking where we want to remove the wort in the base of migdash. And it's mutter. And the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim is referring to removing the wort outside the base of migdash, which is awesome. So Abayi was saying over this Gemara. Eser Safal Abaya, we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Tzadik Zayin, how you become a sefer al scooper. If somebody was reading a sefer on the threshold. Nostalgia, let's say from Yada in the safer rolled out of his hands. We learned that you're allowed to roll it back. Now, the Gemara is learning correctly. The why will we make on that Mishnah? Because again, we're talking about a safer. So a safer is like the Beis Hamikdash, that because of its holiness, we allow certain malachas to be superseded. We're talking about a shvus of a holy thing, of the sefer, but it's from Medina, it's outside the base of Mikdash. We're talking your scooper, and we don't make exera, that maybe the sefer will fall and you're going to come carry it. So we see that when we were makel, we're not only makel in the base of Mikdash, but we even makel outside the base of Mikdash. Says the Gemara, V'loy Kimna, didn't we explain that there it's talking about a scooper is a karmus. Rishus Rabbim Averis Lefanam and the Rishus Rabbim going in front of it. The Kivin the Iguidu B'yadai. So while the Sefer, you're still holding on to the Sefer, I feel a Shvus Namileka. There isn't even a Shvus, because you're holding on to it, so there's no problem bringing it back. And even if it will drop, and you will carry it back, you're only going to be carrying from Rishus Ram to Karmelis, which is a Darabonim. That's why we're Mekel. However, in our Gemara, you could come to do a Malacha Dairaisa. If we're going to allow you to do it by hand, you may come to use an instrument, which is a Malacha Dairaisa. So how could you prove from there to our case? Ask Taisus. But then we learn another Mishnah. That we learned the Mishnah of somebody found tefillin in the street, he could carry it, pachas, medalat amas, less than 4 amas at a time. Now there, it's a shvus, which is of migdash, because of a holy thing, which is mutter b'medina. It's talking about finding the tefillin, not in the base of migdash, obviously. And we're being makel. And there you can come to the raisa, because if you're going to carry it more than dalat amas, you'll be doing a malacha daraisa. Answers, Taisus, from that you can't bring a proof, because there we're talking about a bezoyan. It's a great disgrace that the tefillin are laying in the street, and therefore maybe we could be makel. Eisvei, so the Gemara asks a different question against Rabbi Yosef's new distinction that he makes between a shvus in the base of Mikdash versus a shvus outside the base of Mikdash. The halacha is that normally you're not allowed to put something that's raw into the oven right before Shabbos, because we're afraid you may stoke the coals to get the item cooked on Shabbos. Stoking the coals is a malacha d'raisa or bishul. It says the Mishnah Masechta Pesachim, Mishal Shemes HaPesel Tana Mechashecha. Somebody, if the first day of Pesach is on Shabbos, and he's preparing the carbon Pesach on Friday evening, he could put it into the oven right before his man Friday night, and eat it Friday night. Now let's understand. For Achas Shvus the Mikdash, we're talking here about a Drabotan. Normally now I put something into the oven right before the Zman of Friday. It's a carbon, but it's Medina. They didn't cook the carbon in the base of Mikdash, they cooked the carbonus in their homes. V'loy Gazrinan, and we don't make Gzeir Shem Yichat B'Gecholim. So we see that if something's a Shvus the Mikdash, that we are Mekelin, it doesn't make a difference if it's in the base of Mikdash or outside the base of Mikdash. Ishtik. So Rabbi was quiet. Kosel Kamei Rav Yosef, when he came to Rav Yosef, Omlei Hocha Omer Rav Safran, this is what Rav Safran told me, Omlei Mai Tam Eloi Tishnan Lei, why didn't you tell him that the Karban Pesach, even though it's a Shvus, the Midrash in Medina, it's outside the Beis HaMikdash, we're Mekel, because since the Karban Pesach is made by a group, B'nei Chaburah's reasoning, the people of the group, Karban Pesach is always eaten by a group, one will remind the other about the halacha that you're not allowed to stoke the flames to make the carbon, the food get cooked quicker. Why did Abai say, why didn't Abai give this answer? He says the Gemara, Kahanim's reason, Heinam Rinan. To say that Kahanim are careful, that we know. And like the Shalom Eishav explains, because Kahanim, before they did their Avodah, before they began to work in the Beis Hamikdash, were trained what is Mutter, what is Osir, and therefore they're careful. B'nei Chaburah's reason, but to say that the members of a group are necessarily careful, we don't necessarily say that, and that's why Abai did not want to give that teretz. Ask the Rishash that according to Rav Safra, that says B'nei Chaburah's reason, so why isn't that halacha that you're allowed to cut the wart by hand? What are we worried about? That if you cut it by hand, You may come to cut it with a keli, then we just say b'dei chaburah's reasoning, that the people will remind each other. Answers the Rishash, that when is the chaburah of the Karban Pesach formed? It's formed later in the stage. First a person takes an animal, designates it as the Karban Pesach, and then he begins to ask other people to join with him in the Karban. So by the time the animal is being cooked, which was already after it was slaughtered, it was after the chaburah was formed, so we have the concept of bnei chaburah's reasoning, one will remind each other. However, when the animal develops the wart, it could be when only after one person designated the animal. At that point, there is no chaburah yet that will necessarily, one will remind the other that you're not allowed to cut it with an instrument. Rav Amar, Rav says that the Tan of our Mishnah is a belezehi. Dom machshir mitzvah doichnus haShabbos. He says that all preparations of a mitzvah override Shabbos. So if they override Shabbos, so why can't you even use a keli? Why can't you even use an instrument? Maida Rebbe Lezer, the kam de esh l'shnui mishninin. Rebbe Lezer holds that as much of a change we can do, we should do. So therefore, if we could cut it with a hand, don't use an instrument, use the hand. So now we could explain the contradiction between the Mishnayis in Masechta Erevin and the Mishnayis in Masechta Psachim. Mishnayis in Masechta Erevin follows Rebbe Lezer. Mishnayis in Masechta Psachim follows the Rabbanim. Mahi, where do we see that Rebbe Lezer agrees that we should always do as much of a choice, a change as we can? The Tanya Koyin also lo yabelis, if a wart developed in a Koyin's body, chaveri choy tchloy v'shinov. His friend should cut it off with his teeth. Now before we go further in analyzing this braisa, we have to review two machlaikis of Rebbe Lezer and Rabbanim. One machlaikis is the machlaikis of Rebbe Lezer and Rabbanim that we've been discussing all day. The Rebbe Lezer holds that Machshiri mitzvah doichnus haShabbos, that the preparation for a mitzvah supersedes Shabbos, and Rabbanan are machmer, and they say that certainly machshiri mitzvah a melacha deraisa does not supersede Shabbos. But there's another machlokes which is really not related, and that is about removing hair or fingernails from somebody's body. Here the Rabbanan are mekel, and they say that removing hair or fingernails with your teeth or your hands on Shabbos is not a melacha deraisa. And according to Rebbe Lezer, it is a melacha deraisa, it's the melacha of goyzes. But even Rebbe Lezer, who holds that removing hair or fingernails with your hands or your teeth is a melacha deraisa, will only hold that way if you do it yourself, not if you, somebody else does it. There he will agree that if a friend bites off or tears off with his hand someone's fingernails or hair, it's not a melacha deraisa. Now let's analyze the braisa. The braisa said that if a kohen developed a wart, b'shinov in, you should only use the teeth, b'keli loy, but not an instrument. Chaveri in, strictly someone else, iu loy, but not you yourself. Man, exactly whose opinion is that braisa reflecting? Ilem Rabbanan Rabbi Migdash, if you say it's referring to the sheet of the Rabbanan, that you're not allowed to do melacha deraisa and preparation for an avoid in the Beis Migdash, kiven the Am Rabbanan Ba'al Mishum Shvus, if the Rabbanan normally hold that cutting off a wart with your hands or your fingernails is not a melacha deraisa, hachem mali hu mali chaveroi. So why is the difference that you should ask your friend to cut it off? You should take it off yourself. Elalaf, it must reflect the position of Rebbe Lezer. The Amar ba'al mechayev chatas, who says normally if you do it yourself, there's a chayev chatas. V'hacha, yes, what is Rebbe Lezer teaching us here? That afgav the machshir mitzvah doichnus haShabbos, that even though preparation for mitzvah do supersede the Shabbos, even a melacha deraisa, Rebbe Lezer will hold kam de'esh l'shnui mishaninan, as much of a change as you can make, you should make. And that's why, in order to avoid a malacha deraisa, which you will be over if you take it off by yourself with your hands, that's why ask a friend. So we see there, Elazar holds that you should always ask your friend. Ask Tosfos. According to that, Rav Elazar said in our Mishnah that when there's a wart on the animal, you could take it off by hand. But if Rav Elazar holds, ask Tosfos, as we're explaining now, that you should always make a shinui, so then in our Mishnah also the wart on the animal should have been bit off, not taken off by the hand. So Tosfos answers that since biting from an animal is extremely repulsive, it's meus, that's why the Mishnah didn't tell us to do it. But then Tosfos asks a very important question. If Rav Elazar holds that whenever you could do a change, you should do a change, if it's possible, why is the halacha that Rav Elazar holds that if somebody has a meal on Shabbos and the knife is not in the shul where the meal is taking place, well, you have to carry the knife to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so the button hold machshirei mila and a doichas Shabbos. Then even though the mitzvah mila is doichas Shabbos, preparation like bringing the knife is not doichas Shabbos. Rav Elazar holds machshirei mila doichas Shabbos. Even preparations for the mila doichas Shabbos, and you could carry the knife through the Shus Rabbim. Ask Tosfos if the Gemara just explained. Then Rav Elazar agrees. Always do the least amount of malachas possible. So don't carry the knife through Shus Rabbim. Try to carry it through Gagoyis, Chatzeres, or Kafifos. So Tosfos answers that even though Rabbi Lezer says do it with a change, he only says do it with a change if it won't cost you anything. But carrying it through Gagoyis, Chatzeres, or Kafifos is a much longer direction than carrying it through Shus Rabbim, and that's why it's mutter. Other Mefarshim explain, you can't compare Mila to all other mitzvahs. In all other mitzvahs, the concept is a concept of dechuya. Dechuya means we do what we have to do, but we do as little as possible. We don't want to be mechal Shabbos if we don't have to. But Mila, since the Torah tells us, ubiyoyim hashmini yimoil besar alosoy, that you should do the Mila on the eighth day, afil b'Shabbos, even if it's on Shabbos and Yontif. And according to Rabbi Lezer, in the heter of doing a meal on Shabbos is included machshirei mila, preparations for the mila. So therefore you don't have to look for any shortcuts. Therefore you don't have to look for the rabbanans, and you can carry it through the Rosh Hashanah. What's going to be the nafkamina between these two rutsim? A very interesting nafkamina. Let's say somebody has to do a bris mila on Yontav Sheni Shagolis, on the second day of Yontav Chutz Laretz, and there are two moyalim. One is a moel from Eretz Yisrael, who for him today is not really Yontif, and the other is a moel for Chutz Laretz, for him today is Yontif. According to Tosfos' explanation, even by Mila we try to avoid Malacha. So ask Eretz Yisrael the Gemoel to do the Mila. For him there's no Malacha involved. But according to the Mefarshim that say the Mila is different, the Mila is Chutzra, there's nothing wrong at all with doing a Mila on Shabbos and Yontif, so you might as well ask, you could ask the Chutz Laretz the Gemoel equally to asking that to Shal the Gemoel. Says the Gemara, Loi, Lo'olam Rabbanan. I'll actually tell you that the Bayis does follow the Shita the Rabbanan. V'il also b'kreis hachanami, if the wart would have developed on his stomach, then the halacha would be that the Kohen himself could remove it. We're talking about it was developed on the back, on his back, or about Sila Yodov on his elbows. So the Kohen himself can't reach this wart. And that's why the Brisa tells us he asked a friend. But not that the Brisa is telling us to ask the friend because the Brisa is trying to teach us try to do smaller malacha as Rabbi Elazar wants us. Ask the Gemara of I Rabbanon, if you explain that the Bais is going according to Rabbanon, Nishkele Niyabiyad, why don't we let him remove it by hand, which is also only Issa with Rabbanon, but Tifshad Rabbelazar, and therefore, by the Bais telling us that, we'll be able to understand the statement Rabbelazar said. Dar Rabbelazar, Machlaikas Biyad, the Machlaikas between Rabbelazar and Rabbanon, about removing gross from somebody's body, is only when it's removed by hand. Ava b'kli, but if it's removed with an instrument, derakol chayiv, everybody will hold it to the rabbanim. It's a chayiv, everybody's going to hold it to the raisa. So, as the Mefarshim explain, if you can explain that the Bryce is going according to Rabbi Lezer, and the Bryce is trying to teach us that we should always make as much of a change as possible, that's very good. But if we want to say that the Bryce, that's going according to the Rabbanim, and the reason we're not allowed to do it with Keli is because a Keli is a Daraisa. That's why the Rabbanim want us to do a Shvus. So the Mishnah should have told us that you should take it off with your hand, and we would have learned two halachas. Number one, that a preparation for a mitzvah, if it only involves a drabonon, is mutter. And second of all, the fact that he allows us to use his hands and not an instrument, we will see that he holds that the halacha is that you're always allowed to use a keli. You're always allowed to use the hand on Shabbos. The fact that he didn't teach us the din by hand, we don't know what he holds regarding Shabbos. Is a hand mutter, or is the hand not mutter to cut something off from the body? Utameich. Ask the Gemara, according to you, that you explain that the Mishnah is going according to Belezer. But Rabbi Lezer wants us to do as much change as possible. So use the hand. Why do you have to have somebody else bite it off? Hi, Mai. Says, Mar, that's not a question. Yeah, I'm Bishlam Rebbe Lezer. If we're going to say that the Braisa follows the Rebbe Lezer, Hain the Gozer Yad or the Keli. We want you to not use your hand. We want you specifically to use your friend biting it off. Because if you're going to use the hand, you may come to use a Keli. Eliam Rabbanan he, but if you can explain it's going to Rabbanan, Nishkli Nil Bayad, let him remove it by the hand. Because according to Rabbanan, we don't have this concept of trying to make change. The Sula Midi, and there's nothing more to be said. The Braisa certainly follows the opinion of Elezer, not Rabbanan, and that's why we have a basis for what Rava told us, that according to Elezer, we should always make as much change as possible. As Taisus, maybe even according to Rabbanan, the halacha is that you should make as much change as possible. And that's what Rabbanan tell us, bite it off, not take it off with your hand, because we want to make as much change as possible. Says Tosfos, this concept of trying to make as much change as possible is only said according to Belezer. Because Belezer is the one that says that you're allowed to do a deraisa, but you're only allowed to do the deraisa when you have no choice. So do as much change as possible to try to avoid the doing of the Raisa. But according to Rabbanan, says Taisus, you're never going to be allowed to be over the Raisa for a preparation of a mitzvah. So we're not worried that if you're going to do this, you may come to do a Raisa, because you're never allowed to do a Raisa. That's why they don't subscribe to the concept of doing change.